All right, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to present some of our pilot data from this study at this conference. And I just want to thank at the beginning my co-authors for all of their hard work on the study, especially Dr. Mena, who's been my research mentor for several years now. So a little bit of background on this topic before I talk about our study. It has been estimated that 5 to 20% of women engage in sexual activities with another woman during their lifetime. And this group of women who have sex with women, for which I will refer to as WSWs during this presentation, were initially thought to be at low risk for transmitting sexually transmitted infections. However, this has been changed over the past 10 to 20 years with data from case reports talking about transmission between two women, small studies, and surveys of WSWs. The risk for STI transmission depends on specific STIs under consideration and sexual practices involved. And reviewing the literature of the past 10 to 20 years, the majority of the small studies done in this group of women have been in Caucasians. National and local surveillance data estimating the risk for STIs transmission between these women are limited. So for the rest of the presentation, I'm going to concentrate on African-American WSWs and STI risk. This group of women constitutes the majority of all of the WSW patients that come to our STD clinic in Jackson, Mississippi. And so I've been interested in working with them over the past several years about their STI prevalence rates and educating them and other factors. So basically, the sexual risk behaviors and burden of sexually transmitted infections, including HIV, experienced by this group of women is largely unknown. They have traditionally been reluctant to discuss their sexual orientation with physicians for fear of being stigmatized. And several early studies done way back in the 1960s, 1970s, concluded that these women may actually have more heterosexual experiences than white WSWs and may be predisposed to a different pattern of gynecological problems. For example, one of these early studies said that women rated themselves on a Kinsey scale as less exclusively homosexual in their sexual behaviors than their white WSW counterparts and were more likely to have higher rates of prior heterosexual marriages and children. Particularly for Jackson, Mississippi, before and during this study, we conducted several focus group discussions of these women just to sort of get a feel for this population and what's going on with them and what are their concerns. And during these discussions, we found that a lot of these women are frequently engaging in heterosexual relationships that may be sequential or concurrent with their female sexual partners. And a lot of the most common reason for this, they said that they were fueled by external homophobia from their family, friends, and community members, and social stigma related to same-sex partnerships. Many of these women were unaware that they could get a sexually transmitted infection from another woman. And also, there was some concerns about identity behavior discrepancies. A lot of these women said that they identified as exclusively homosexual, and they didn't realize that even though they were having sex with men in their behavior, they were at risk for STDs from having sex with men. They still identified as homosexual and thought that they were not at risk for getting an STD. So the objectives of this study were, first, to describe the prevalence of chlamydia, gonorrhea, Mycoplasma genitalium, trichomonas, syphilis, and HIV in a sample of these African-American WSWs, and also to identify characteristics independently linked to sex with men in the past 12 months in this cohort of women. So recruitment methods for this study, women in the Jackson, Mississippi metropolitan area were recruited into the study mainly from two sources. First, they were from women who presented to the STD clinic as walk-in patients, either for screening or because they had complaints. And women were also recruited from a women's reproductive health program that was also occurring in our clinic at the same time, which was trying to increase the access to care of these women in our community. And women were eligible to participate in this study if they were African American, age 18 years or older, and reported sex with another woman within the past 6 months. Once informed consent was obtained and the women were enrolled into the study, we initially asked them to fill out a detailed survey of about 150 questions, asking questions on demographical and socioeconomic information, questions on their sexual identity and behaviors with female and male sexual partners, casual, main sexual partners, last sexual partners, etc. We also asked them their history of sexually transmitted infections, substance use history, such as tobacco, alcohol, and drug use, and multiple sexual risk behavior characteristics, such as are they having sex with IV drug users, sex with homosexual, bisexual men, are they having sex under the influence of drugs, alcohol, etc. And finally, we asked multiple questions on sexual concurrency during this survey. And we defined concurrency in this study as overlapping sexual partnerships in which sexual intercourse with one partner occurs between two acts of intercourse with another partner. So once the women completed the survey, they had a physical exam. And during this exam, we obtained a vaginal swab for a Trichomonas vaginalis wet prep and an in-pouch culture. We also obtained a vaginal swab for chlamydia and gonorrhea, nucleic acid amplification test, and an endocervical swab for a Mycoplasma genitalium nucleic acid amplification test. The women then underwent a blood draw for a serum RPR for syphilis testing and also HIV rapid test. Our data was analyzed using SAS and SPSS, and descriptive statistics were calculated for our continuous variables. Percentages were calculated for categorical variables. We used chi-squared or Fisher's exact test to test for significant associations between categorical variables. And we had a multivariate model that was constructed to compute adjusted odds ratios using binary logistic regression. So the first table I want to go over is our demographical and socioeconomical characteristics. And as you can see, we've enrolled, as of January 30th, 2010, we've enrolled 157 women into this study. Enrollment began last February 2009, and enrollment is ongoing at this time. The mean age of this group of women is 24.7. The youngest woman enrolled so far is 18 years old, and the oldest is 40 years old. 56% self-identified as homosexual, and 33% as bisexual. Over half of this group of women reported having some high school education or less, and the rest of them pretty much reported having some college education or higher, including vocational school. 42% were employed part or full time, 25% reported being unemployed, and 38% reported being a student. 62%, a large percentage, reporting not having any type of health insurance. And only 24% had a primary care provider. 26% reported a history of domestic violence, a third of them reported a history of sexual assault, and 25% a history of incarceration greater than 72 hours. The second table reviews their STI and risk behavior characteristics. So almost 75% of these women, three-fourths of this population, reported a lifetime history of sex with men. And in the past 12 months, 41% reported a history of sex with men, 65 women. 26% had a history of chlamydia, 15% history of gonorrhea, and 22% a history of Trichomonas infection. Syphilis and HIV reports prior infection were very small at 2.5 and 1.3%. Only 22.9% reported consistent condom use. About 10% reported giving sex for money or drugs, and only 2.7% reported a history of sex with an IV drug user. Concurrency in this study, overall, 43% reported engaging in concurrent relationships within the past 12 months. For alcohol and drug use at the last sexual encounter, 21% reported using this with their most recent male partner, if they had one, and 27% with their most recent female partner. Over half the group used tobacco in the past 30 days, 65% used alcohol, and 44% reported drug use in the past 30 days. And of those women that reported the drug use, about 70% of this was marijuana, and 15 to 20% of the other was crack cocaine. This table reviews the STI prevalence in this group of women, and I've split it up in the middle two columns into women who reported sex only with women in the past 12 months, and then the other group of women who had sex with men and women in the past 12 months, and then the total group. So as you can see, for Trichomonas in the exclusive WSW group, we had a 14% prevalence rate, which is actually a little bit higher than that reported in prior studies in WSWs. In the group that had sex with men and women in the past 12 months, we have a 27.7% prevalence rate. and for the total overall group, it was 19.7%. Chlamydia rates in the WSW-only group were about 3%, which is pretty standard across past studies, 24.6% in the group having sex with women and men. Mycoplasma genitalium was about equal in both groups, 5 women were infected, and gonorrhea, only 1 patient was positive in the WSW-only group. At the bottom, of note also, we had no new cases of syphilis or HIV diagnosed so far during this study. And at the bottom, we listed any STI diagnosis across all these groups, and 18.5% of the WSWs were infected with any type of STI versus 47.7% of those who reported sex with men and women in the past 12 months, total of 30.6% in the entire population. This next table is our univariate analysis, looking at the association of sex with men in the past 12 months with selected characteristics, which included demographical, socioeconomical, substance use characteristics, sexual practices, and current STI diagnosis among this cohort of women. And I'm basically just gonna cover the ones that are bolded, which are the ones that came significant in the univariate analysis. So women who reported alcohol or drug use in the past 30 days were about 2.3 times more likely to have had a history of sex with men in the past 12 months. Those who had exchanged sex for money or drugs were about 11.6 times more likely. Those involved in concurrent relationships were about 5.5 times more likely. And those with a new diagnosis of chlamydia infection were 22 times more likely to have a history of sex with men in the past 12 months. Gonorrhea, mycoplasma genitalium, and trichomonas did not come positive in our univariate analysis, although our numbers were small. And those infected with any STI had about a 3.8 percentage risk. We subsequently used the characteristics that came positive in the univariate analysis to do our logistic regression analysis. And here we looked at alcohol use in the past 30 days and drug use in the past 30 days, concurrency, and any STI. And here in this analysis, engaging in concurrent partnerships and diagnosis of any STI were independently linked with sex with men in the past 12 months. So in summary, a lifetime history of sex with men was common in this cohort. 75% of these women had a lifetime history. And sex with men in the past 12 months was also common, about 42%. Overall prevalence of STIs, including trichomonas, chlamydia, gonorrhea, and mycoplasma genitalium was relatively high, although we had no new cases of syphilis or HIV diagnosed. Among African-American WSWs, those who are also reporting sex with men may represent a subpopulation with distinct risk behaviors and higher STI rates. So the implications of this so far is that definitely we want to have a comprehensive sexual history when we are working with these patients to adequately address their sexual health needs. Asking a patient what their self-identity is pretty much not enough, because that's not asking them what their behavior is and what type of partners they're having sex with, which may put them at higher risk. And also, healthcare services provided to this group of women should account for partner gender heterogeneity when providing risk reduction counseling, education, and testing for STIs. We did have several limitations for this study. As I mentioned, enrollment is ongoing and our sample size is pretty small right now at 157 women. This is a somewhat marginalized population in our community, and we've worked very hard to go out and try to access them and educate them and try to get them to come to the clinic. Which brings me to my second limitation, which could be a sampling bias. As I mentioned, some of these women were coming to the clinic as part of this women's reproductive health program, and this could have been a convenient sample, as these women may or may not have come to the clinic on their own if they had not known about this program, versus the other women who are coming to the clinic that may have had complaints, STI complaints. And also, this may not be representative of all the African-American women who have sex with women living in Jackson, Mississippi. So I just want to thank a number of my colleagues. As I mentioned earlier, Dr. Leandro Mena. I also have multiple colleagues at the Mississippi State Department of Health that have helped tremendously with this project. And also the lab of Dr. David Martin at LSU has been doing our mycoplasma genitalium PCRs, and I want to thank them for doing that. And also several colleagues at the University of Mississippi Medical Center. And of course, the women who have participated in this study. That's it. Thank you. Any questions?
Thanks for doing that. It's like a great study of an understudy group and even more understudy components, so that really nice contribution. Did you happen to ask about the women about their male partners, the ones who were having sex with men, about whether their male partners were having sex with men?
Yes.
In a similar study that we've done in Seattle, we actually have found that other women, and our numbers are pretty similar, a lot less STIs, we found that other women who report sex with men, about 30% know that their male partners are also having sex with male partners, which I think is a really concerning, obviously, network node.
So. Absolutely. In our study, actually, less than 10% reported knowing if their male sexual partners were having sex with another man. Okay. It was lower.
So they didn't know, or they reported that it was?
No, they reported, only 10% reported knowing that their male partner was having sex with another gay or bisexual. It was pretty low. Yes?
I'm curious about why you chose the specific STIs that you included, and why you didn't include others such as BV or HPV or herpes.
So I included these STIs. Oh, I'm sorry. The question was, why did I pick these particular sexually transmitted infections, and why I didn't pick bacterial vaginosis, HPV, other sexually transmitted infections, and herpes. Actually, these infections here, irrespectful of mycoplasma genitalium, are the infections that our clinic tests for all comers. They're the infections that have a high prevalence in Mississippi. Mississippi, unfortunately, right now is number one in the country in gonorrhea and chlamydia rates. So we have a very high burden of disease for a lot of these STIs. And actually, we have tested these women for those other sexually transmitted infections. I just, for the sake of this presentation and time, I didn't get to present all that data, but I definitely am gonna be working on that in the future. So we do have that data, it's just I haven't presented it yet. We've been doing pap smears on them, testing them for, we're doing bacterial vaginosis, we're doing a lot of other stuff. Herpes serology.
So Christina, I thought it was interesting that genitalium, now recognized as being an STD, was not associated in parallel with chlamydia anyway, as being significantly increased in the women who had sex with men. Do you have any thoughts about that?
I'm not exactly sure about that. I was just talking to Dr. Mayna about that before I came here. Actually, in our MG study, we have a 16% prevalence in the women of Mycoplasma genitalium. And here we had a 6% prevalence. So I'm not exactly sure about that yet. I think I need to sit down and think about that, about what's going on. Yes? Jackson, Mississippi.
Yes, is HPV, herpes, and BV, is that reportable in Mississippi?
No, not right now. We have chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, HIV. Thank you.